If you were ever to run into Sabrina in real life, make sure she doesn't give you any bad advice about how to handle your HOH with noise-canceling earbuds from our friends at Tweaked Audio. Get high-quality earbuds at a low cost and save 33% with promo code RHAP to get free worldwide shipping anywhere. So check out the great selection of headphones from our friends at Tweaked Audio by using our link at robhasawebsite.com/headphones. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy whose moose meter is currently at 3 million. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our live Big Brother Canada recap. We've got a jam-packed show for you guys today, talking about what's going on week four in the Big Brother Canada house. Of course, with me, as always, is my main bro, Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm Will. How are y'all?
Oh, doing fantastic, because we're very excited because we have a great guest here today. You know him from Big Brother 15, a.k.a. King Judd of Judd Nation. Here is Judd from Big Brother 15.
What's up, y'all? Cheers.
Yeah, Party Darty is ready to tell us about John Darty. John Party.
That's yeah, right. What's up with that task? What the hell? I needed that, you know?
Now, Judd, you have a beer already. Did you get that in the diary room?
Yeah, actually, I snuck it like under the chair for like a week, so it's a little warm, but it'll work.
Okay, great. Well, Judd, very excited to have you here with us. We're going to get a lot of questions for you, I'm sure, about Big Brother 15 and about what's going on Big Brother Canada. So we've got the chat room here going on, robhasawebsite.com. Plus, we're taking tweets at hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, you can post your comments on the YouTube video itself at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. So, Judd, tell us, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I've just been traveling a lot here lately, you know, still doing my charity work, stuff like that. Getting ready to go to Reality Rally in April and, you know, still raising a little bit of money for Michelle's Place and also St. Jude. So, you know, just staying busy, starting a new career and everything. So,
yes. What, Judd, what new career are you starting?
Well, right now I'm actually selling cars on the side with my dad, and then eventually I'm hoping to move out to California and start a different career, but what? I'm not even sure yet, like, what it's going to be.
Okay.
I'll probably be an actor since I was on Big Brother. I could probably, like, take all the, like, Shia LaBeouf's roles from him now. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Unless they need, like, any kind of roles that have subtitles, then maybe I could get, like, a hookup, you know?
Okay. All right, cool. Well, keep us posted on all that, Judd. Let's start off and let's talk about this Big Brother Canada. Now, I know you've been very into the Big Brother Canada, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I watched all of season one, got addicted to it. You know, I was just going to like check it out, and it was a really good season. So I was like, the second season, I'm kind of anticipating like a really like, because we had twists like every episode last season. So I'm like, I don't know. I always thought that it would have like a lot to live up to, and so far it has, and it's like been doing really, really good though. Like, I'm really surprised, and you know, I like the cast. Like, they're so different. Like, I like Adele. He's my favorite. I'm team Adele. I'm team John. Actually, I like Aika, but it looks like she's a goner now. A lot of people that are rootable. Nada, I like her. Arlie. Not a big Kenny and Andrew fan though. I gotta say that. I'm not a big fan of them. Rochelle, not a big Rochelle fan. But you know, I don't like hate anybody this season, but
now,
not
how
yet.
How many people from Big Brother 15 had seen Big Brother Canada before they went in the house?
I know that McCray, Alyssa, Helen, and Andy had seen it. I think that might be it. I'm not really sure, but I think that's probably it. No, Spencer, I think, might have seen a little bit of it. But yeah, I was a big fan. Like, I remembered more of it than 14 because I'd watched it more recent, I guess. But yeah, I was a big fan.
Yeah. And how do you feel like the Canadian game plays compared to the American game?
Well, you know, I think it's basically exactly the same, like the same concept and everything. But they have like the task and stuff. And I noticed they don't let them take naps, which would really be annoying to me because I would stay up all night and like take a nap or two during the day. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like little things like that, you know, you don't think it's a big deal as a viewer, but like if you're actually in there playing, like that's a pretty big deal. Like those tasks, like they could really hurt your game or really help your game. Like, I don't know. If we had those in our house, like especially with MVP already going on, it would have drove like paranoia up the wall. Like if I'd said some of the stuff that Arlie's been running around saying this week, like imagine like how Amanda and Helen and them would have been reacting. They would have been like, what the hell? Judge really scheming and sketchy now, you know?
Yeah, Brian and I have talked about this, about how the Big Brother US, they kind of let you do whatever you want in the house. And in Big Brother Canada, they have so many rules. Everybody's always getting in trouble.
Yeah, they have rules for everything. Like, there are some things that they can do that we would get, like in deep shit for, like, shaving their damn heads and stuff. Like, if we did that, they'd be going ballistic. Me and Gina Marie were talking about that on Twitter, I think. Like, there's no way in hell they would let us do that. But, well, I guess maybe, like, on a Thursday. I don't know.
Because it would screw up the edit?
I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably why. But, like, I was looking at, like, Arlie and Adele's heads. I'm like, how the hell are they getting by with that? You know, because I would have loved to do some crazy shit like that. But, no, I don't know if I would have done that or not. Maybe if they give us more booze, like, they give them. Like, they get shit-faced drunk. Then here we are, like, begging for, like, a beer, like, every other day. And I'm trading, like, half a beer for a cigarette with McCray, like jailhouse deals, you know?
All right. Well, what we like to do is we start off, we talk about the episode, and then we'll talk about stuff that's been going on the live feeds. Do you watch the live feeds also, Judd?
A little bit. I watch them on FaceTime with Alec.
Okay. So Alec shows you FaceTime of the videos?
Yeah, and the TV show. That's how I watch Big Brother Canada, because I can't watch it in the States.
Okay. So, all right, so let's talk about the actual episode from the other night, from Sunday night. And we got to see the HOH competition play out. And I thought one of the more interesting things that happened in the HOH competition was Arlie overplaying throwing the competition. Could you talk a little bit about that, about when you can tell people are intentionally throwing the competition, and then what that would make you say in your head about that person?
Yeah, I mean, like, especially after the potato thing, like, the week before that, like, you know, people were probably already thinking, you know, this is a little shady and stuff. And then you see them doing it again, and, like, these competitions, they are a lot harder than they look, but I don't really know what was going on. They were just holding their damn hands up, it looked like. I don't know, but it must have been, like, way harder. But he was just acting like he was, like, getting his whole body pulled apart, like, ah! And it's like, dude, like, calm down a little bit and just let go if you're going to act like that. You know, I don't get why he just didn't let go. But, I mean, whatever he's doing makes sense to him at the time. So I can't really diss him on it. But at the same time, I hope that he kind of, like, chills with it a little bit. And, like, I don't know, just lays a little bit lower than he's doing. You know, it's fine to throw a competition. But, I mean, don't cause such a big scene about it, you know, because then you're going to draw attention to yourself. Next, people are going to be like, Arlie's a powerhouse, and he's going to start winning all these comps, and he's going to be a big target just because of that stupid little, you know,
right?
I don't know, throwing the challenge, but being so dramatic about him. I mean, it is funny to watch. I'm sure he thinks it's funny, and it is, but it's going to screw him if he keeps doing it every veto, you know, and every HOH.
You know, I think the thing with Arlie is he really cares whether us at home know that he's throwing the challenge. Like, he could have just thrown the challenge and then been in the diary room like, yeah, I threw that challenge. But I feel like he's trying so hard to be dramatic, like how he was doing, like, push-ups in between rounds of the potato challenge and talking about, and telling the camera, this is so easy, I'm throwing this challenge. Like, I think he's just really invested in making everybody at home think, oh my god, he's such a mastermind, Arlie. What do you think about that?
I think that he might just be thinking, you know, that sometimes people say that they're throwing competitions and you know damn well they're not. They just sucked at it. You know, like, I threw one competition. It was the popsicle. I thought it would be a 15-minute. I never would have made it 4 hours. Like, but I thought it was going to be a 15-minute, and I thought somebody had already fell off. I fell, and I seen that I was the first one off, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm such an idiot. You know what I mean? So maybe he's thinking, you know, like, I don't want to look like I'm throwing these and, like, everybody just thinks I suck. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's worrying too much what Canada and, like, all the viewers think more than his own game, I think.
So, Brian, what do you think? Did Arlie catch any heat in the house for his overplaying? We didn't see anybody talking about it too much after the competition on the show, but was that a bigger deal on the live feeds?
I never really caught anyone talking about it. I think what he was trying to do was draw attention to the fact that of the weight differential of the pool, because he kept saying, why is it not like this on you guys? And that's kind of when Sarah put him on blast about, we'll try giving birth, you know?
Zing!
So he just got shut down.
Hopefully it'll get... And Sarah, I was really surprised at her in that competition. She was really holding her on. I thought she might win it. You know what I mean? Like, she was, I was almost rooting for her in that. Just because, I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge Sarah fan, but like, just her competitive drive during that almost made me want her to win. Like, I felt like she wanted it so much more than Rochelle. And I'm glad that she didn't get it, but she might as well have. I mean, Rochelle's kind of going with the same nominees. So I don't know. I was kind of rooting for her at the end, though.
Do you think it would have been bad, though, for Sarah to win that HOH, because she just got all the blood on her hands for being the person to switch their vote during the when Paul got voted off? People are mad at her. Wouldn't that have just put more attention on her than to come out and win HOH right after that?
Yeah, I do think that it would put a lot of attention on her, make her look like a huge power player, like somebody that people would want out the next week. But, you know, at the same time, she'd already kind of drawn the lines, you know, so like by putting up two people, like, she's still showing her loyalty to the people that she's loyal to in the game. So I don't know, I don't think it would have really hurt her too bad. I mean, right. You never know, though, like, it's all like so gray area, like how people are gonna act and stuff. Like, it's a gamble, everything's a damn gamble when it comes to Big Brother. Like, you don't know if people are gonna like praise you or like, we got to get him the hell out. We got to get her the hell out. You know, it's like, it just depends on how, like, the trust that you have with, like, your alliance and, you know, your side alliances and stuff like that too. So, I mean, I guess it's better if she didn't get it, but I don't think it would have hurt her too bad.
Now, a lot of the episode on Sunday night was about Sabrina and everything that she has going on in the house. And basically that she still voted with the girls, and she is basically best friends in the house with Rochelle. And she's talking to Ika, and she's putting all of these ideas in people's minds. And so this has been a question a lot of people have been wanting me to ask you. Nina Nims wants to know, Judd, OMG, does Sabrina remind you of Amanda, LOL? Could you compare and contrast Sabrina's game so far to Amanda?
Absolutely. I've said since like the preseason interview, I think, like, whenever I seen her preseason, I was like, she reminds me a lot of Amanda. And I mean, there's no secret that me and Amanda, we've had a lot of problems and stuff. And like, whenever I see, which we really get along good now, I think Amanda's definitely a lot hotter than Sabrina. But no, like, as far as her game goes, like, she's in every like alliance. She's like, got to know what's going on. She thinks everything's her business. She pushes her ideas on everybody. Like, it's a smart game move. Like, she's playing really smart. As much as I don't like Sabrina, I think she's playing a really smart game. And I'm really surprised. Like, I really underestimated her preseason. And her game is almost identical to Amanda. Like, I would think that she had just watched Amanda on season 15 and was trying to play the exact same game. But I don't think so. Someone said that she wasn't. Like she said she wasn't even an Amanda fan or something like that. I don't know. Like, I didn't hear that on the feeds. But, yeah, it's like almost an identical game. And she doesn't even have like a steady showmance. So, I mean, that's kind of a good thing for Sabrina. Sabrina might actually go a little further than Amanda even, because she didn't have that extra person with her, you know?
Yeah, well, if Amanda wasn't up in the HOH room with McCray all the time, think about how many more deals she could have been making.
I know, right? Like, half the time I was just trying to give them privacy for like common courtesy, you know? And then I look at all these episodes and there's Andy right there with them. I'm like, damn, I should have been like following them around more too, because I looked like the shady fuck. And really, I was just like trying to give them like their couple space, you know? But yeah, I have to agree. Like, Sabrina's playing a very Amanda game. And I think it's working for her, though. I mean, as much as people don't like Sabrina, like, for her personality and like, you know, her opinions and stuff, she's playing a damn good Big Brother game. And I can't hate on that, you know, not at all.
Brian, from what we saw on the episode, it made it seem like Rochelle and Sabrina are really super close. Was that relationship exaggerated for the TV show, or from the feeds? Can you tell, are Rochelle and Sabrina really that tight?
Well, from Shell's perspective, it did seem that way, but I didn't really get that from Sabrina. It just seemed like Sabrina felt like she had everyone wrapped around her finger, and especially Rochelle, who's going to do whatever Sabrina wants her to. So I mean, I don't think it's mutual by any means.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Sabrina a little bit more. Now, could you compare what Sabrina is doing to what Andy was able to do so well on your season?
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that as well. She's almost like a cross between Amanda and Andy. Like, she's in every room. Like, anytime I've ever seen the feeds, she's on one of the cameras. You know, she's always like with the mass majority of like game talk, whether it be with Kyle at the beginning of the game, like whenever I first seen the feeds. And then I see her with Ika, I see her with Nada. She's with everyone. Like, she's never alone. I even seen her like with, was it Heather? I don't know. She's with everybody. Like, it's hard to keep up with that girl in her game. Like, I don't know. I don't know how people don't like catch up on to like, if they watch BB15, how they're not like, damn, Sabrina's everywhere, you know, and kind of think of her as more of a threat. Like, you know, because Andy was more of a threat than what we realized. You know, I was always like, oh, I don't care about Andy. Screw him. He's like going to get on everybody's nerves eventually. He'll get like 6th, 7th place. And then he just weaseled his way to the end, you know, because I didn't think he was a big threat. And I guess everybody kind of thought that. Everybody thought he was their friend. Smart game move, you know, and I think Sabrina's doing a lot of that. Like, you know, she's making sure that people don't forget about her. Everybody trusts her. Well, I don't think everybody actually trusts her, but you know what I mean. She's like trying to keep that role in the house, and it's working for her now. And you know, I hope people catch on to it and evict her ass. But you know, for now, it's a good game move, and keep doing what you're doing, Sabrina. Yeah. But catch on to her, guys.
It seemed like the Sabrina thing, though, it seemed like she went is getting a little drunk with the power, at least from the episode that, you know, we saw the part where she basically was like pulling a Godfather move with Allison and got her alone and told her that, you know, you're going to go up there and you're going to be the pawn. And she says, OK, now, Allison, be a smart girl. And to me, that's pretty aggressive. And I feel like that was not something that you would see Andy ever pull. Like, Andy would not make a threatening gesture to other players in the house this early in the game. And I feel like that there's a lot of time left in the game. And I feel like at some point that kind of stuff is going to catch back up to Sabrina. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Andy, if you remember, he would get mad at Amanda and Helen for being too aggressive whenever they would talk to people. Like, they would be like, you're going home if you don't do this. And he's like, don't say that. You're going to, like, scare them away from working with us. You know what I mean? And so I think that's where she's not as much like Andy, but she is a little bit more like Amanda in that aspect. That's why I say she's like both of them. Like, Amanda, if you remember, she'd be like, she wouldn't speak for herself. She would speak for the whole house. She's like, if you don't do this, the whole house is after you. You're going home next week. You know what I mean? And Helen would kind of do the same thing, but not as aggressive as Amanda. You know, and that's where I think Sabrina's just like Amanda. Like, she's to make people think it's not just what Amanda thinks. It's what everyone in the whole house thinks, everyone in the game. And so it's really intimidating whenever you think, and whenever somebody says that to you, like, I don't think Amanda really did it to me that much, but I heard her say it to other people, and I've seen it on the show. And I guess it kind of scares people into being like, do you really feel this way? Do you feel this way? Because, I mean, that's what I would want to do if somebody like Amanda said something like that to me. But, I mean, I guess they're too scared that they're gonna that there's more going on than they know that they don't know about. You know what I mean? Because you don't know if there's, like, secret alliances and stuff, and paranoia runs rapid in that damn house. So, yeah, it's a very Amanda-like move for her to act like the Godfather, you know.
Yeah, well, we also saw Sabrina then trying to strong arm Andrew, basically telling him about how we saw her last week basically say, hey, Allison is not in first five, that no matter what, she's not in the first five. And then he basically was comparing Rochelle is with her as Allison is with Andrew. And Andrew was like, well, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. And he was trying to manage this situation. But do you think that she's coming on too strong with Andrew as well?
Absolutely. I mean, she's going to scare him into not wanting to work with her eventually, or getting rid of Allison earlier, which would be terrible for Andrew's game, I think. You know, like the same kind of thing happened with me and Jesse. Like, people are like seeing us as a duo and stuff. I'm like, no. And so, I mean, that might scare Andrew. Like, no, don't look at me and Allison as a duo. Look at me as my own player. So, I mean, Sabrina's threads, it could be a 50-50 with Andrew. Like, he might want to roll with Sabrina in the first five, or he might want to be like, have a side alliance with like Kenny and who else is it? Arlie? Arlie and maybe he get like a side alliance with Arlie and Kenny and Allison or something. You know what I mean? Because eventually there's going to have to be more side alliances and stuff. I mean, this big group thing, like everybody's going to have to go after everybody. So, I mean, I hope that he goes against Sabrina and sticks with Allison because I really love Allison. Like, I was so glad that she made it back in the – or made it in the house. I think that she deserved it a lot. Super fan. The right person made it in, thank God. Contessa or whatever the hell didn't make it in. Is it Contessa? Scott Contessa, like, yeah. Two people in one. Thank God he didn't make it in. But so I want Allison to stick around. So I hope Andrew doesn't fall for Sabrina's tricks and he wises up, you know. I think he's a smart player, though, and he's got Kenny with him, who's like his right-hand man, and he's a really smart player. So I think they're going to do ultimately what's smartest for them in their games.
So, Judd, tell me about the first five. Do you think that they are more likely to be the second coming of the Brigade or the second coming of the Moving Company?
Ah, well, they've already beat the Moving Company so far.
There you go.
Thank God. They've already outplayed the Moving Company in every way that you can look at it. But, I mean, I'm really surprised that they're still together strong. I thought it was just such a sloppy, thrown-together alliance that it would never last over a week. You know what I mean? And, I mean, if me, Candace, Gina Marie, and Andy were the first four to walk in the house, I mean, for real, if we tried to make a first four alliance, you know how disastrous that would have been? Like, it wouldn't have worked, you know? But luckily for these people, it's working really well for them. I never in a million years would have thought that they would still be together. But more power to them. And I think they're not going to make it as far as the Brigade. I think that they're going to make it kind of mediocre. I think they're going to split up eventually. And hopefully sooner or later. I'm not a fan of the first five. Not at all.
Now, Brian, I want to know how upset you were during the week, because I know that you are the president of the Heather Fan Club, and Rochelle put her on Slop for the second time, even though she was only putting up people who had not ever been on Slop before. Did that piss you off, Brian?
No, because I'm hearing that Heather told her to suck a dick. So I thought that was pretty great, and I just kind of got over it.
So after Heather potentially said that to Rochelle, was there any sort of backlash, or was it sort of like, all right, well, if she's going to fight back, then I'm not going to pick on her as much?
Well, no, Heather admittedly said this, and she said it because Rochelle was being a bitch. Another thing we also didn't see in the episode was Ika calling Heather a pimple-lipped bitch.
Yeah. And she also calls her, what does she call her, Creepzilla?
Right, Creepzilla.
Why? Because she's creepy? I don't think she's creepy.
Because she would creep into conversations.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's some hating going on.
Well, yeah, that's old news. Yeah, go ahead, Judd.
That's a part of the game, though. I mean, getting into conversations and stuff. I mean, it's part of Big Brother. I mean, if people don't like it, you know, get rid of them. But, I mean, Heather's there to play the game, too. I see a lot of early how people treated Alyssa with Heather. Like, Heather's one of the nicest people ever. She'll just be, like, hanging out, having a good time. Then people are like, oh, look at her, blah, blah. I'm just like, what's the big deal? Like, leave the girl alone. Like, I don't think she's the best player, but, I mean – I hope that something turns around. She has a really good, strong alliance and just shows them up. You know, like, I hope she stays a lot longer than all these people that are giving her such grief for just breathing. I mean, she does nothing wrong. Like, she literally hangs out and just tries to be friends with everybody. She's nice to everybody. And then people get pissed off about it. I really don't understand it, but I guess I don't see as much of the feeds as Brian, but I just don't get why they don't like her.
Yeah.
Well, it's because of Sabrina.
I don't know. Sabrina, yeah, like Sabrina, I seen that whole fight with Sabrina and Ika and Heather, and I was like, yeah, Heather's like taking up for herself, like loved it, you know, like I was really proud of Heather at the time, you know, and Sabrina was just like, oh, what's going on, like trying to, she was the biggest instigator, but just got off like scot-free, like the only people mad at her was like Ika and Heather for like 10 minutes, am I right, like it's like nobody was really mad at Sabrina for causing that whole fight. Might be a smart move by Sabrina, but I mean, I'm just not a Sabrina fan. Like, no matter how good her game is, I'll never be a Sabrina fan ever. Like, never. So, might be smart, but
yeah. No, but I do feel like
Sabrina's a bad.
this is a thing where the Sabrina, you know, the woman that comes into the house that plays the game, like a Sabrina or like an Amanda, I kind of feel like for the most part, the viewers don't like to see that. And maybe it's sometimes after the fact, like with a Shelly, people, when she gets out of the house, people give her credit. But it seems like while she's in there, people never appreciate this sort of game. Why do you think that is?
She's like, if we didn't have a Sabrina in the house, though, I mean, people would be a little bit bored. Like, we need somebody to hate on. Viewers, like, as a fan, it is good to have somebody that you don't root for. They're like, oh, get them out, put them up on the block, please put them up on the block. Then they stick around, and you're like, ah, so-and-so. So whenever somebody finally puts Sabrina on the block, like, it's going to give us something to cheer for and be like, yeah, Sabrina's up. Thank God, you know? And, I mean, this is my own opinion, but America loves, or in Canada, like, viewers of Big Brother love to have somebody to hate on. I mean, maybe that's just a personal opinion, but I don't think if everybody was just, like, getting along, like, throwing popcorn in each other's mouths and shit, like, it would be boring. It wouldn't be a fun TV show to watch. So, I mean, that villainous character makes the show what it is, you know, and I think it's, I don't know, I don't root for that kind of person, but it's necessary to have them in the game.
Brian, will Sabrina just have to wait till she gets out of the house to start up the Sabrina Mafia and then have a bunch of fans?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I'm sure there's people out there that love Sabrina because I think she was very open about her game in this last episode. And I will give her points for that actually, because before this, it didn't seem like she was really connected with what she was doing. She was just acting on instinct. So
she was owning it. She was owning it. We said that we wanted to see that.
So I got, if I say I won't see it and she gives it to me, I got
to. She gave it to us.
A lot of people root for the villain. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that are always going to root for the villain no matter what show it is. So, I mean, I'm sure she already has tons of fans, you know.
Yeah, and now that Heather's come out throwing her punches, I'm cool with it. So let's get the game on.
All right. At KBRN wants to know, Judd, were the girls in BB15 meaner than the girls in BB Canada 2? Which house has meaner girls?
Oh, that's pretty tough. I mean, it's kind of neck and neck. I would almost say that Canada might be a little meaner. I think that their consistency might be a little bit meaner. I think 15, see, I think ours started out a lot meaner than they were at the end, so it's easy for me to forget about how our girls were, but they were nightmares at the beginning of the game, you know? Like, I think I actually said that a couple of them needed some holy water thrown on them.
Yeah.
And, like an exorcism, but I don't know. These girls are pretty mean. Like, I thought that I knew that the Girls Alliance was never going to stick together. Like, the whole Girls Alliance, and like, it's going to keep deteriorating. Happened to BB15, it'll never work. Girls just hate each other. I don't know why, but they do.
At least these girls are less controversial, though.
I've not heard many like derogatory comments or anything like that, thank God. But, you know, maybe on the feeds it's been said, I'm just not seeing it. But, yeah, they're not as cutthroat, but they're pretty damn mean. Like, I don't know. And they seems like they all band together and just, like, disinclude a couple of people. Like, I've seen, like, Adele, Paul, and Kyle by themselves, like, all the time. You know, I don't even think it's just the girls on this season. I think everybody's kind of mean. Like, they got a pretty mean cast, but it is what it is, I guess, right?
So I want to talk about in the episode. So there was this challenge where John and Allison got called into the DR. Now, I don't even understand how this worked. So they got called to the DR. Just Brian, this was completely random that it was John and Allison, or the producers just figured they would be good.
It seems so, yeah.
Okay, so they get called to the diary room, and there's like a whole cocktail hour in there. And their challenge was they just had to keep drinking and then going back into the house, and nobody had to notice that they were wasted.
Correct.
Now, wouldn't you smell the alcohol on them?
Possibly. I was worried that Sabrina was going to, because she got right up in Allison's face.
Judd, could you have won at this challenge?
Absolutely. Oh my God, I was so jealous when I seen this challenge. I was like tweeting immediately, like, what the hell? Because I mean, like, I would beg for like one lousy beer, and then I seen them like downing like all this alcohol and
liquor.
And Big Brother, that's a big, big deal. Like, I don't know. Whenever I seen them do that, like, I was filled with envy. Like, I don't think I've ever been so jealous watching another Big B episode ever. And like, I don't know. I would have definitely just like, you know, put some mouthwash in my mouth and be like, if somebody smelled alcohol, like, yeah, just put some mouthwash in, you know, like, get out of my face. What are you smelling my breath for? And then people would have just laughed it off. And luckily they passed. I don't know. It never would have happened in our house. I think like we all wanted alcohol so bad. Like, I think we could have smelled it from a mile away. They get a lot more alcohol than we did.
They like, definitely do. Yeah.
Like that little task or whatever they did. But I mean, like even on like a regular night, whenever they get booze, it'll be like those huge like bottles, and Canadian like beer is even stronger. So it's like, I don't know. Have y'all had Canadian beer?
Yeah, when I was in college, used to get it. It's like, what, like 7% alcohol or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, this stuff is stale. So, I mean, they're regular beer. So, I don't know. They were doing a good job keeping it together, though. I was kind of worried, especially nothing against girls, but I thought Allison, you know, being a girl might be hard to keep it together and might fall around and giggle and stuff. She was a trooper. Like, I'd like to throw a few beers back with her, that's for sure. A few shots.
She drank Andrew under the table, who ended up puking.
And he's a bartender.
Oh, shit. I don't know. She was I don't know. I need a girl like that. Like, is she single, by the way? Well, I guess she's with Andrew, whatever. But after she's evicted or wins the game, she definitely needs to holler at her boy.
No, Ian Terry already claimed her. We have, like, Walking Dead rules on this show. Ian Terry already claimed her.
Shit. How about Heather? No. Okay.
Brian, you're not going to claim Heather, right?
No. Uh-uh. Okay. You can have Heather.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Netta's available.
Sounds good. Oh, Netta. They do have a lot of hot girls. I don't think they have one ugly one.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Well.
Nah, right. Yeah.
We'll move on. Let's move on. Okay. So... if you were on Big Brother Canada 3 and you saw somebody in the house, okay, so let's say hypothetically you were on Big Brother Canada 3 and there was somebody in the house and they were acting really, really weird. So it's like something is up. Would you call them out on the weird thing they're doing? Or are you saying, you know what? They probably got a challenge from Canada. The prize is always a party for the house. I'm just going to go along with whatever car noises or whatever the odd thing that's happening right now. Because I know if I just don't blow it for this person, there'll be a pizza party or a kegger or some sort of fun thing about to happen.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, being on BBUS, like, we don't have that. So, you know, these people, they had to have seen, like, the first season of Big Brother Canada and knew that it's going to happen. They're going to have crazy tasks and stuff. Like, they seen it happen with Andrew's cooking and stuff like that. Heck, it's really shady, and it didn't seem like a part of the game. I would definitely like play along with it and get it some beer. That's all I'd be thinking about was like beer and food. So I'd be like, yeah, that's, you're nuts, but yeah, awesome. And
Brian, do you think that's what goes on? Do you think that they do?
I think what they're doing.
Do you think they suspect something's going on and they just don't say anything because they know they'll get a party?
Yeah, sometimes they do.
Okay.
They have talked about possible tasks happening.
Yeah. J-U-double-D's bear shirt on Twitter says, in Big Brother Canada, they have beer bottles the size of wine bottles. How about that?
I know. I've seen them. I'm jealous. Every time I see those big-ass bottles, you see me a minute ago, I was like, the beer's like this, and it's stronger. I was just filled with envy. We had little cans.
Yeah, when Kenny came in the diary room, he came in, and he just like grabbed the thing off the table. They're just going crazy. They're going insane.
Yeah, I mean... I'm jealous of shit. Like, whenever
that party was really awesome, though, just to watch.
Yeah, it looked like they had a blast. Like, and I don't know, it's such an escape from the game. But I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have more drama, like, afterwards, like, getting drunk in the Big Brother house. Like, I think if we would have had that much alcohol, like, we would have had, like, 6 or 7 people expelled, probably.
For sure.
It would have been a fiasco. Like, I don't know how they kept it together that good, but, like, we wouldn't have had booze for the rest of the season. Like,
no.
So it's kind of a good thing we didn't have that much, I guess.
Yeah, God knows what would have been said if there was flowing booze in the Big Brother 15 house.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, I would actually get mad about it whenever people would fight. I'd be like, y'all, calm down. We're not going to get booze tonight because y'all can't act like reasonable people, you know? And sure enough, we wouldn't get booze. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I should have made like a fake license, went on BB Canada so I could have got drunk and played the game. Yeah. I don't know. Whenever I was HOH, I had a six pack of Corona, and that's whenever I made that stupid deal with Howard and Spencer. I was a little buzzed. So maybe so, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All right, so I want to be able to talk about spoilers now. So we're going to open it up now, not just the TV show. Okay, spoiler warning. All right, you may hear spoilers now after this point. Okay, and so Brian, just let's take us through. So we saw the nominations in the episode at the end of the. So we go with Allison and who was the other original nomination? Heather, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then we have the power veto competition. Take us through what happened with the veto.
Okay, so the power veto competition was basically the Yankee swap competition that we're used to. Allison ends up winning the power veto and removes herself from the block. The first five's backdoor plan of Ica is in effect, and now she's on the block, ready to go home.
Oh, no. Okay, here's a question from D Teaches ESL. Hey, Rob and Judd, love you both. I don't like Ica much. Thanks for your recaps. Thanks for all you do. Judd, do you like Ica? I do like Ica.
Yeah, she's actually one of my early favorites. Like, I'm pretty sure she's going home right now. But, you know, I hope she doesn't roll over and die. I hope that she actually goes out and tries to make a few deals. Of course, I know she's against Heather, which... I have a huge crush on her, but I think Ica has a lot of potential. I think Ica is a hell of a game player. She's entertaining to watch. She's one of my early season favorites. I wish she would just like make some deals to stick around the house. Like, she's got the time. It's just, I don't know. It's harder than it looks, I guess, whenever we're watching. But I don't know. I wish she just wouldn't give up and she just keep fighting. Maybe get like Adele, Arlie, and a few other people in a new alliance. Like, screw Sabrina and them, like, you know, like,
you want exterminators to happen.
Yes, she needs to start something like that. Start like an exterminators type of alliance. Get with all the people that don't have anybody and making a new majority, and it could work for her. I don't know, like, it doesn't look like she's fighting that hard. Maybe I've not seen like everything that's going on the feeds or whatnot, but I just wish she wouldn't roll over and die, and that she would just keep fighting, because I'm really a big fan of hers and I like her gameplay. She's really entertaining too.
Brian, so tell us about Ica's state of mind here. It seems like, at least from the episode, she basically figured out what she needed to do about a week too late. Could you talk about where her head is at right now?
Right now, her head's about thinking about going home before jury. I mean, she seems like kind of resigned to that fact. I think that she could. I mean, she possesses enough information to possibly throw this group of Adele, John, Heather, Netta, and Arlie under the bus of the first five and say that they might be trying to get Heather with them to come after the guys or whatever. She might have some inroads there, but she's just not going to do that. I don't think she wants to throw that group under the bus.
Okay, now, Brian, you mentioned another group here. Judd, so what Brian does for us here, he puts together a chart of all of the alliances. And I want to switch to that. And, Brian, talk us through the latest things that are happening on the map. You guys can see this okay?
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, take us through what you've diagrammed here currently in the house. I see there's green, there's blue, there's red, all sorts of colors happening on the map. So take us through. And remember, people are also listening to the audio feed of this. So if you could sort of describe what's happening also.
Okay. Well, on the left side, I have the first five of Kenny, Andrew, Sabrina, and Sarah. Along with Arlie, who's kind of split off from them and formed another alliance with Adele and John for the purposes maybe of getting rid of Andrew and having a side alliance for when the first five crumbles. However, he's not really sharing the first five information with the Adele John side of that, which coincidentally I've heard them call the Goof Troop.
What?
Yeah. Wait, so
which ones are they calling the Goof Troop?
Arlie, Adele, and John had called themselves the Goof Troop as a suggested alliance name, which I thought you might be interested in.
Judd, will you see them?
Yeah, I'm pissed. No, I'm just kidding. Like, it's actually a copyrighted name, so they can't use it. That's why we
won't hear it.
Yeah. Well, it's a cool name, but I hope it works out better for them than it did for me.
I don't know. They get Katy Perry songs.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, what the hell?
All right. So Brian, and then is there anything else on the chart that you want to talk through before we bring the chart back down?
Yeah, so basically Rochelle's kind of attached to Sabrina's hip. Arlie has this connection with Allison, and maybe he might be trying to extract her from the first five control. And then obviously you got Netta's connection with John and Ika's connection to Adele, and a string holding Heather on. But once Ika's gone, that may solidify. And it may just be if the first five retains control that this plan just gets bumped down another week. So things could blow up, or they could stay the same. Who knows?
So does this Arlie group that's over here on the right-hand side, is everybody that's in it know that they're in it? Or is it basically Arlie dealing with Adele and John, and Adele's like, I've got Ika, and John's like, I've got Netta, and Arlie's got Heather?
Well, actually, Adele, Arlie, and John have all been working on Heather. And so Netta is expected to go because of John. Plus, this whole group over here on the right are all hating on Sabrina right now. It's kind of like everything is blown up in her face.
Yeah. Too hard.
She's kind of taking it to the extent that she can. And really, I mean, obviously looking at this map, Arlie is the one in control and is going to make whatever decision.
Okay.
All right, well, I hope that he sticks with like that little goof troop. I hope that they bring it all the way to the damn end, you know, and Netta and Heather, I hope that they can stick it out with them, you know, or if Ika stays, you know, whoever, like, I'm rooting for that side, you know, like, they're the people that I actually like the best anyway, so to see that they're working together is awesome to me, and I hope that they get rid of Sabrina, Andrew, Kenny, like, faster, I mean, sooner than later would be great, so hurry up, win the next HOH, Adele, Arlie, John, any of you guys, but I hope that it's Adele. Like, he really needs it.
Judd, but that's pretty much what you were proposing, where you were saying, like, all the people on the bottom need to get together and make something against all of these guys, like the Kenny and Andrews of the world, and it looks like that is what's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd seen a little talk on Twitter about this, but I never knew exactly what was going on, so to see this chart is really helpful. I'm rooting for that, you know, like, Adele is, like, one of my favorites on this whole entire season. I really like Arlie and John, so to see that they're all working together makes it even more rootable for me. And Netta, you know, that's a bonus because I really like her a lot. Like, I see her going very far, if not winning the game. So, I don't know. I really like this right-hand side of the group, and I hope they bring it all the way.
All right, I'll post that chart on robhasawebsite.com as well, Brian's latest chart, if you're listening to the audio and you want to check that out after the fact. All right, so Arlie is a busy guy. In addition to building a big alliance, that he had a run-in with Marsha the Moose this week, Brian, can you tell us about that?
Yes, so his task basically was to insult house guests. I could go through all the insults.
Yeah, tell us the insults. They're a little zing body, right?
Yeah.
Not as funny.
Some of them.
I only heard the one that he said to Adele about being quiet whenever he was going to sleep or something like that. Like, he bothered him whenever he was trying to sleep in the have-not room.
Yeah.
That's the only one I heard.
He told Allison that she looked like that she's put on some weight since she's been off slop.
Now, did he make up these insults, or Marsha the Moose gave him all these insults?
Marsha later on whispers to him in the storage room, so Marsha's telling him what to say.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Can everyone see Marsha? Do they know she's there?
No, I think Marsha was in the lock key hallway going into the diary room, and they probably removed Marsha after all of that.
Oh, okay.
The other house just didn't see it.
Yeah, okay.
He told Rochelle that he felt like she was being a bitch to him.
Okay.
He told Heather that her voice annoys him. Heather was really sweet about it, though, and just said, I'm sorry, I love you, and gave him a hug.
Nice. What did Rochelle have to say about...
Oh, she was so apologetic about it, right?
Oh, really? She wouldn't run into Sabrina and them?
The word does get around. She does run around, and they start thinking, well, this could be a task. And so you do get that sense that they don't blow it up for him, right?
Yeah. What about what he says to John?
He told him it smelled like shit.
And what did John say?
He would talk to him about it later. John don't care, obviously.
Well, can I ask a question about what is going on with John's fingernails? Why are John's fingernails always a different color?
The girls paint it. Netta paints his nails. Netta paints a lot of nails.
Okay. And he doesn't mind? Yeah. He just goes with that?
Yeah, just go with it.
Is he bored in the Big Brother house?
I would do it just so I wouldn't bite my fingernails.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should do that. Why not?
I wish I had his task whenever I came back and I was kind of vengeful anyways, but I was like, clean slate, that was all bullshit. I wish that I had this task where I could be like,
Yeah,
talk shit to everybody. Be like, oh, it's a task. You can't be mad at me. I got this beer.
Yeah, we all
that would have been fun.
Yeah, Big Brother, we all got $500 when we leave the house. Like, I did that for all of us. Like, oh man, thanks, Judd. That's awesome. It's like I haven't made.
Yeah,
that
would have been awesome. I'm jealous of this task. I wish we had task in US. Like, they're fun to watch, and they'd be so fun to actually do. I wish BB16 had it.
Brian, can you tell us about what happened with Kenny in this task that Arlie did?
Yeah, so Arlie just caught him in the storage room and told him that he had to tell him something, that he just feels like Kenny thinks he's better than Arlie, and it was really bothering him. And Kenny just said, well, thanks for sharing that with me, and started to walk out, and then started crying about it, saying that the reason that it was bothering him was because he'd heard that before from somebody else in his life, and it really struck a tone with it. But I don't know that he may have heard that this was coming or not. So we'll just have to wait for the show to clear that up.
Okay. And then what was the reward?
Let's make a hashtag. Shut the F up, Kenny. Like,
you really think you're better than me.
Hashtag Crimea River.
Yeah.
What was the reward that Marsh and the Moose gave them?
I'm not sure about this, but apparently Gary and Tala made a house visit, so that's possibly the reward. That's what I heard. Of course, the feeds would have been down during that. So,
okay.
I'd seen something on Twitter about Tala coming in the house or something like that. I didn't hear Gary. I just vaguely see these things on Twitter and just like take bits of information from it. So that's really cool, though. I mean, I don't know. Were they excited about it, or did they really say?
I don't know. I didn't really catch much of it. You know, when the feeds are down, sometimes you just don't catch a lot when it comes back. So I just heard that they had talked about them being in the house.
Okay. And so give us the state of affairs right now as far as the eviction goes on Tuesday. We're 2 days away from the eviction. How do you project this, Brian?
Overwhelmingly, Ika being voted out, maybe Adele throwing a vote her way. I don't know, possibly even Netta. But unless something major happens and a lot of first five get on board with flipping the vote, Ika's going to be gone.
Okay. 9 people will vote. So you say you're projecting either 8-1 or 7-2. Ika is evicted.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Let's see. Are we getting close to the jury at this point? How many people are typically on the jury?
Well, at 9, get jury because you get 7. You get 7 jury members, and then you got the 2 and final 2. So
okay, so still 3 more weeks.
Oh wow! So there's probably a double eviction coming up then, right?
Right. You probably not this week. They seem to. Kenny seems to think it's going to be next week.
Okay.
Do you think it'll be before jury starts, like last year with Liza and Tom, or do you think it'll be after?
Like they might have to.
Who knows? Well, I'm even asking. Like
Brian knows. Yeah. He knows. Okay. Let's see. Let's start taking some of your questions here for Judd. You could send them in again on the YouTube video or use the hashtag RHAP on Twitter. Okay. And let's start off. Let's talk about Sabrina. And Wayne Booth wants to know, are people afraid of Sabrina because they think she's unstable emotionally, or does it have more to do with her position in the house? Upsetting her might bring the wrath of the Alliance. So what do you think? Is it more that people are afraid of hurting her emotionally, or they're afraid of her power in the game?
I think that it's both. I think it's a little bit of the emotional part of it because they don't want her to, you know, start going ballistic and you know, go after them. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's keeping her happy so she doesn't screw up their plans and their alliance and their game. And then also, you know, like, she's got a lot of power in the house. So, I mean, people are going to be scared to publicly go against her. I think Adele actually went against her in the first week. Am I right on that, Brian? Like, wasn't he, like, kind of talking against her? And it got back to her somehow?
They've been fighting ever since.
I might be wrong. Okay. Yeah. So they don't get along or whatever. So, you know, he doesn't – I mean, he's clearly got a target on his back. But, I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't get nominated this week. So, I don't know. With that girl, like, there ain't no telling. Like, nothing's going to make her happy, I don't feel like. So, I don't know. Like, she's just one of those kind of people that – is always pissed off about something. She's always got to be dramatic and, like, be mad at somebody and talking shit about somebody. Like, she'll never be happy. So, like, anything they do will never please Sabrina, ever.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it, Brian.
I'll just say you had a good point right there, the fact that Sabrina's target's not really going home. It's really Andrew and Kenny's target going home. And Sabrina really is just doing the work of the first five.
Okay, this is still about Sabrina, and we talked a little bit about why people aren't big fans of her or people who play the game like her during the show. Nina Mim says, Rob, when it comes to Sabrina and Amanda, I appreciate their game. However, they take things to a disgusting personal level, which is very unnecessary. I can appreciate a tough girl who betrays people for her game, but in a somewhat classy manner. Is that the problem? Is it that she takes the low road in the house?
Well, I would say yes. That's why people what people think and why they're mad at her and was mad at Amanda.
Judge, is that how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, all right. Like, I don't know. I can't like completely compare Sabrina and Amanda. Of course, there's very similarities, like so many. But I mean, you know, it's still early in the game. Like, who's gonna say she's gonna play as good of a game as Amanda or as bad of a game as Amanda? Like, you don't know what she's gonna do yet. Amanda, I do think that, like, she mentioned it before, and I kind of agree with Amanda on this. Had a guy kind of acted like Amanda did, then maybe she wouldn't get as much hate. I don't know. But, I don't want to bash, like, Sabrina or Amanda or anybody, but it's just, like, I get what this person's saying. Like, you could do it in a classier way, but at the same time, they're trying to be intimidating. They're trying to show that they're a power player and be assertive and aggressive. And, you know, they're not really seeing themselves like we're seeing them. They're going to see their stuff after the show and be like, why'd I act like that? You know, but it's a game and it's so hard until after the fact of what you should have done, what you could have done, how you could have made yourself look like a better player or a better person. You know, like, she's not going to know until she's evicted or wins. And hopefully it's whenever she's evicted, like soon. Pretty jury.
William Cook on Twitter wants to know, who do you guys want to see win this coming HOH? Love you all, by the way. All right. We'll start Judd and then Brian. Who do you want to see win the HOH?
Adele, 100%. Team Adele, you got to win. You know, put up Sabrina and Sarah, put up Kenny and Andrew more likely. Like, that would be even better, but I don't know. I think he would make the smartest move. Even Nada, I think she would put two people up that furthers her game. She's not going to try to make the majority happy. She's a smart player. I think it's getting far enough into the game where lines have to be drawn. Like, everybody can't be best friends anymore. It can't be the damn house. You know, like, it's got to, like, it's time to turn on people and show, like, who you're with, who you're not with. And I think that if Adele doesn't get it, I'd really like to see Nada get it if Adele does it. Because Arlie and John, I really like them, but who knows? Like, they might flip back to the first five, you know, work with those people, and I would really hate to see that happen. And I don't think they will, but, you know, like, I don't know. I'm Team Adele. And Nada if he doesn't get it.
All right, Brian, who do you want to see win?
I would go with Heather or Nada because for the same reason as Judd. It would keep this three of Arlie, Adele, and John kind of aligned behind them. Heather and Netta have no love lost for Sabrina, so she's not going to be getting in their ear. So either one of those two girls would be great.
Judd, I feel like it would be a bad thing for Adele to win the HOH. Yeah, it'll be nice to have him win the immunity, but I kind of feel like then everybody is going to be coming after him. I kind of feel like the best spot for him would be like to start being like going up on the block, but not going home. Start getting into that like sort of like the Spencer role where he's like people are worried about him, but they're not that worried about him. And I feel like that he can hang around for a little while if he sort of just starts to go into the background more as opposed to being somebody who people are worried about as winning an HOH.
Yeah, I mean, I get.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that to a certain extent. I don't think like what happened with Spencer is very rare. You know, like I don't think that would happen with Adele. Like, I don't think that he gets along with as many people as Spencer did. Spencer really didn't have any huge enemies in the house, so it always worked for him to go up and he would stay. I'd be too scared that Adele would go home. He's already kind of been a target. Like, he didn't go up this week, but he's kind of got one of those positions where I think people look at him and they're like, oh, he's easy to get rid of in a couple of weeks, you know? So, you know, it wouldn't hurt him if he didn't get it, but I would much prefer him to get it rather than not get it.
It would be fun.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. It'd be something new and interesting to the game for sure.
Okay. Here's a good question. This one is, says, I really like Aika, but I'm afraid Aika talked too much about John for Arlie to trust her at this point. She pretty much ruined John's game by telling Sabrina that John wants Andrew or Kenny gone. I wish Arlie had talked to her much earlier in the game. She needed someone to trust who understands the game. So do we think that Aika may have ruined John's game? What do you think, Brian?
No, and I know I kind of understand what this question's getting at. Sabrina was talking about how John was coming after Andrew and Kenny or whatever, which he was. But John has caught wind of them wanting to come after him now, and so he went to Arlie and said it's time to bounce, like, away from their alliance. So I think by getting the information that he has, it kind of made things clearer for him and pushed him farther to that side of the house. And, you know, if they win HOH, you know, they've got control at this point.
JUDD's bear shirt on Twitter is also asking, do you think that Paul is sequestered since he wasn't on the sideshow? Could there be a possible return of Paul? Has Paul been on social media at all? Do we think that there's a possibility?
Paul, didn't
they show a picture of him and his family? I could have swore I seen a picture of him and his family.
I don't know. Paul's.
But it could be before, right?
His account has been run by his wife, so if they wanted to pull a fast one, it wouldn't be that hard for her to just keep tweeting for him. I don't think so. I don't think so, actually.
I do think it is weird on the sideshow that they don't talk to the house guests, right?
No, they do. Like, they did talk to Andrew, Kyle and the two War Room house guests.
Yes, yeah, Scott. They that's right. But then have they talked to the other house guests who have left the show?
No, but they also did. It was about where they did the interviews, I think, because Paul's interview was done during the live show. The others weren't.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's coming back, but it is weird. I feel like that they don't talk to them on the sideshow.
I think they will if they just run out of time on the show again, like they did, and then they'll just push.
Is it because Peter is Peter too mean to the people on the sideshow? Is that why they can't bring these guys on the show, because Peter will make them cry?
I don't know. I mean, actually, I don't think he would have made him cry. He's more likely to make someone like Ika cry, and I think Ika might end up on the sideshow for that reason.
Peter was taken up for many alumni that Scott, Contessa, like whichever personality he likes to go by, bashed everyone, and like he's seen what a super fan Allison was and thought, oh, that's going to get her voted into the game. So he was like, actually, he was a super fan. He thought that Janelle competed against me to get into the house. He had no idea. He bashed like several people, which, I mean, I don't care. I think it's funny. Like, I gave him a little bit of shit about it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, did you have fun bashing me? But I didn't care. I think Peter was just a little heated whenever it came to Scott, because he pretended to know a bunch of stuff and he didn't know anything. And so I think that he was just a little frustrated with, not Paul, but Scott. I always get those names mixed up because they're so similar.
Okay. I'm getting word in the chat room in the chat room that Paul is actually that he has been spotted and he is not in sequester.
Oh, okay.
So we can confirm Paul is not in sequester at this time.
As expected.
Huh, that is weird. He went interviewed.
Okay. It is weird. Okay, let's see. Let's take one or two more questions here with Judd. Here is a question. I want to take a question about Sarah that I had. Gregory Contreras wants to know, do you guys think that people are underestimating Sarah in the house? She flipped on the girls and got away with it, and she's most liked individual inside the house without a target. And there was another question, which I can't find right now, that wanted to know, do you think that Arlie will Arlie pull Sarah over with him to his second alliance, or will Sarah rat out Arlie potentially about his second alliance? So let's talk a little bit about Sarah. Judd, why don't you start?
I for one, definitely underestimated Sarah. I thought that she was my predicted first out. I thought she would be the first person out. I thought it'd just be easy, and that's what like the house would do. I couldn't be more wrong. She's sitting in a pretty good position right now, and you know, I think that she'd go really far. As far as the Arlie thing goes, I could see it going either way. You never know with a player like Sarah. I could see her kind of putting it in her back pocket and using it if she needs to use it against Arlie, but also, like, considering working with the other people, you know, because she's going to have to know that she's going to switch it up at some point, you know. So as long as she has somebody like Arlie that she can trust, then it's possible that it could happen. But it's really dangerous. I think she's a very dangerous player as far as like trusting her. Like, if I were working with her, I would be scared to tell her certain information if it was shady. But I don't know. Like, I definitely underestimated her, and you know, it would be cool if she worked with that other side. But she can stick with Sabrina for all I care.
Brian, we haven't talked much about Sarah this season. What's your take on Sarah?
Well, I mean, she does have a relationship with Arlie, and I think she may actually be reading the tea leaves, too. I think Arlie figures that she'll come with him if when the first five actually crumble. But even if they do and she stays there for whatever reason, it looks like that she's the least of all the targets left over there. So she could get weeks out of riding the demise of the first five.
But I think thing is, I kind of relate to Arlie in the sense of he's kind of the odd man out of his alliance. I was the odd man out of the Goof Troop. I was the odd man out of the Exterminators. You know, he's the odd man out of, even the Grasshoppers. Like, here's Gina Marie and Caitlin, Howard and Spencer, and then me. Like, that was like a 5-minute alliance, but still. I think Arlie's going to be scared that anything he tells Sarah, she's going to tell Sabrina, you know, because he's probably looking, that's probably why he's working with the right-hand side, you know, on the chart. That's why I'm calling him that. But that's probably why he's working with them, because he's looking at the first five.
That should have been their alliance name.
Yeah. But there, you got Sarah and Sabrina, and then you have Kenny and Andrew. So he's got to see that these relationships are stronger than what he has with them. And he's probably, that's why he's branching out, I think. Kind of makes him a really rootable player if you think about it. I mean, to me it does. Like, he's going out and having to work for his position. He's not, I don't know. I don't think that he feels as safe as everybody else in the first five. I wouldn't if I were him. Maybe I'm looking too far into it and analyzing it too much, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I think he feels like he's the safest because he's about to blow the first five to smithereens.
I hope he does, and I hope he's very successful at it. I'll take it one by one.
All right, and one last question. This is from Nina Mims. Hey, Judd the Stud. Hey, so which house guest do you think is going to win this? All right, do you have a pick to win Big Brother Canada?
It was Andrew to start out with, but that was preseason. Now I'm going to go with Nada. Nada, I can never say her damn name right. Is it Nada or Nada? Nada?
I think it's Nada. Brian, what do you think?
It's Nada.
Nada?
Nada.
Okay. I think she's in a really good position. I think that she's pretty calm and collect. Sometimes she has little breakdowns or whatever, but I mean, I think since she's a girl, people kind of look over it. And I think she's a really likable person. Well, that could really hurt her, but I don't know. She makes the right moves and is aggressive enough whenever she needs to be, but also lays low when she needs to be. I could see her going all the way to the end, winning the whole thing.
I got to check this or show you guys this. I got a care package this week from at. I got a care package this week from at Survivor Twerks on Twitter, who sent me stuff. And I'm always a little nervous when people send me stuff. But so check this out. So Survivor Twerks sent me so I can represent. I have my own Canadian flag here that I got sent here in the box. Awesome. I also got a Canadian bandana for my dog, which is pretty good. And then I also got some Canadian snacks. Look, Brian, I got Twistos.
Right on.
I got some Twistos. These are
some
bruschetta flavor Twistos. And then I also have some baked snack cracker. This is Parmesan and oregano Twistos. And again, they're not twisted. I thought it would be like a pretzel. And then I also have some cheddar cheese and chive Twistos. So I am loaded up with Twistos. And then I also got some Smarties, which are like Canadian M&Ms. So thank you to at Survivor Twerks for my Canadian care package. How do you like that?
That's awesome. Just don't eat the apple if there's an apple. Forget, I have a P.O. box in my header on Twitter. Y'all, like, send me some stuff. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Judd, this was like I won HOH this week.
Yeah, you just – he forgot the Tim Hortons, though. Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. That's really nice, and that's some really cool stuff. Yeah. I'd have already ate it by now.
At Survivor Twerks on Twitter. I wanted to show you guys first. And then I got to hide all this candy from Nicole. All right. So, thank you guys so much for joining us here today. We'll be back on Friday in our we'll talk about the eviction on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Judd, what are you doing? Are you podcasting or doing shows about Big Brother also?
Yeah, on JuddNation.com. Actually, I have one at 9 o'clock tonight with Kyle. The last he was evicted a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, look at you.
Kyle.
Look at you.
Kyle, yeah. Yeah, but JuddNation.com, and also don't forget Reality Rally is coming up. It's for Michelle's place. You can still donate at realityrally.com.
All right,
it's for breast cancer research.
Yes, I'll be there too. I'll be there on Saturday night, so I'll see you there, Judd. And next Tuesday, yeah. one week from today, we're going to have a very special show. We have another great guests. We're going to be joined by Peter and Alec from Big Brother Canada. That's right. So I expect now half comments saying, yay, Peter and Alec, and half comments saying, no, Peter and Alec. So we're going to have that going on for about the next week. Brian's excited. Brian, here's Brian. Brian, you're excited for the Shield to come on the podcast?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, next Tuesday. So check that out. I think we're actually going to do that one a little bit later. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for The Shield next week. All right. So thanks so much. Subscribe for more podcasts. Click the subscribe button on YouTube or go to robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. And also you could subscribe for all of our audio podcasts at robhaswebsite.com/podcasts. Okay. Or click the podcast tab on the website. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Friday for more Big Brother and plenty of Survivor talk coming tomorrow night. Survivor Know-It-Alls Wednesday night, 9:15 PM. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
See y'all.